If you have your Bibles with you today, turn to Luke chapter 5. And I do want to give a shout out to the herds. I met with the leadership Thursday night, and they asked me, said, "Pastor, how many men do you think will show up?" And they said, "Do you think 40 will show up?" I said, "Let's count on 75. So guys, if you're part of those that are above that 40 mark that we would have had traditionally, be those extra guys there with us Tuesday night back in the watering hole. And I do got my crossover bracelet on today, just giving them a shout out. You can get these as you sign up back there in the back at our Connection Sunday. You can get you one of those crossover bracelets as well. You know, we started a Jesus series. We intended to start it last Sunday in second service. And that's why we got that big Jesus sign back there. And that big Jesus sign, we wanted to give a feel of a Broadway sign, that, you know, kind of in billboards. We want to make Jesus famous. He's the main attraction. And because Easter, what happens on Easter is Easter gives you the opportunity to hear about one of his greatest triumphs. He goes to the cross and he sacrifices himself and sheds his blood for the remission of the sins of humanity. And then he miraculously resurrects from the dead. But, you know, sometimes when people only come on Easter, they kind of get the end of the story first. And they kind of hear what was the culmination of his earthly ministry. And then they really miss all of the stuff that happened prior to the cross. And that's what we've kind of come with a theme for at least 6 or 8 weeks about Jesus and the different attributes and characteristics that he has for us each and every week. And one of the characteristics, and what we wanted to do since we're kind of doing that Broadway theme with the lights, is we wanted to have a reveal each and every week. And so we wanted to have kind of this curtain drawback of this reveal. And so this week we're going to reveal that Jesus changes everything. And see, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Can you imagine a mom getting up early and making her son a bag lunch? And putting a few pieces of fish and a few pieces of bread in it. And then that bag lunch going with her son to where Jesus was teaching that day ends up in the hands of Jesus. And in the hands of Jesus, a bag lunch made for a little boy, he changes everything to feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. They estimate the crowd to be somewhere around 12,000 people fed out of a brown bag lunch made for a little boy. See, when Jesus is around anything, he can change it all. And so we're going to read this morning about a man that was paralyzed. And his friends thought that if I could just get him to Jesus, everything could change. So let's read our text today. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And it reads, "On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God?' And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, 'Why do you question your heart in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And immediately he arose before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God." Listen to this last verse. "And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen extraordinary things today.' Now think in your minds and in your hearts of the greatest need that if Jesus was standing before you today, what would you get if he said, you will have one prayer request that I will grant, what would it be? And wouldn't you need extraordinary things for that prayer request to come about? And I believe that that's the God that we're going to meet with today. And I believe extraordinary things can happen right here. Let's pray. Father, I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give me strength in my body that would allow me to communicate with effectiveness and with fluency and most of all, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because God, I believe your word can change lives. I believe that you can change everything. I believe no matter what the circumstance or what the situation, I believe when you are involved, I believe anything is possible. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, for those of you that are guests, be of good cheer. I am not long-winded. And I don't feel good, so that will shorten it up even more. So here we go. You know, the setting was this humble place. He wasn't teaching at a temple. He wasn't teaching at the synagogue. He was teaching at a home, a humble house. And in that humble house were the movers and shakers of the time. The Pharisees and the scribes and the professors of the law had come from all different regions, Galilee, Judea, and even come as far as Jerusalem to this house to watch Jesus. See, there's a difference between the two types of people that are going to be in this house. There's going to be people that are here to watch Jesus, and then there's going to be people that are here to see Jesus. And there's a big difference between watching for Jesus and seeing Jesus. Because a lot of people just want to stand in the back rows and they want to watch and observe the things that Jesus might do or say. In this case, the movers and shakers were wanting to watch to see if they could legitimize who he really was. Is he a crazy man declaring that he's the Son of God, or is he the Messiah? And they were trying to kind of balance this thing out. Who is he really? But there must have been one guy. And you say, Pastor, sometimes you color in the edges. Well, I've got a little bit of logic and a little bit of intelligence that where we can see. But in my mind's eye, there had to be a man that was already there. And he was already there hearing the eternal truths of Jesus. And his intentions were to just hear the teachings of this great teacher. And he went there, but in the midst of being there, he was motivated. Because Jesus was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that he was there and he was teaching and healing. And we know that healing is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So we know that he was endued or enabled or empowered by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to start healing people. And somebody in the crowd said, wonder what would happen if my friend could get here to where he was. And you have to say, well, Pastor, how do you know he was already there? Well, let me ask you a question. How did they know where to lower him in to get him in front of Jesus? If they're up on the roof and they don't know where Jesus is, they could have opened up the roof at the bathroom and lowered it. No, they knew where he was at. And so it leads me to believe that this man was there, and all of a sudden he's motivated by something that is bigger than his own needs. Because he could have sat there and literally heard the eternal truths of Jesus being taught firsthand. But he thinks to himself, and I'm going to call this guy Jim. Now, if your name's Jim, I'm not preaching to you. My brother's name's Jim. And so I just figured I would take something that I'm familiar with, and I'm not preaching towards my brother. I'm just using his name because it's familiar to me. But we're going to call this paralyzed guy Jim. And he's sitting there, his friend is sitting there and going, okay, I think that if I can get Jim to Jesus, I think anything can happen. I think everything could change. I think in this moment, I'm seeing him heal. And if I put somebody sick in front of him while he's healing, I think he could heal Jim. Now, this thought has to become contagious. Because the person that is his friend that was probably already there can't carry Jim by himself. So I don't know if these other guys were actually there or just friends of the guy, but he starts to think out loud to other people and it becomes contagious, and he convinces three other guys, let's go get Jim and let's get him here. So they all agree. This thing becomes contagious. Let's go get Jim. Yeah, he's healing people. Let's go get Jim, see what happens. And they go to wherever Jim is. And now the second hardest thing to do is convince the person that you're trying to help that they need the help. And these four guys, crazy as it sounds, bend down, talk to Jim, and say, Jim, we believe there's a guy teaching down the road here that if you will give us permission to carry you down there, I believe everything can change. And I know that if I was Jim, I would have answered this way. What do I got to lose? Sure. If you're willing to carry. See, they wanted to be the mobility for somebody that was absent of the mobility. They knew that at this point, Jim could never get to Jesus on his own because Jim wasn't at the house, and Jim couldn't walk to the house, and Jim needed help to get to the house, so they decided to be Jim's feet and his legs. And so they convinced Jim, and Jim agrees, and now there's four guys carrying Jim, but something happened along the way. Crowd grew. Other people decided to come and hear Jesus as well. But isn't every good idea, isn't every God idea met with opposition? Haven't you ever noticed that when you have a faith moment that everybody is busy telling you why you can't do something? Like the people that, and what really, and I'm going to clarify this for you. If you have a lot of negative people around you, just understand this. They want you to stay where they are because it justifies where they are. And if they see somebody wanting to do something that's a little out of the box, it scares them. So all they are is afraid. But your faith can overcome your personal fear, and you can do something about your situation if you have the faith to believe that God can do everything. Then all of a sudden, they get back and opposition arises. They can't get him in. Now, this is a cool part of the whole story because they can't get him in. And how many of us would have just said, well, Jim, God knew our heart, and if it be his will, you'll get healed. Yes, sometimes God does know the intentions of your heart, but in this situation, the intentions of their hearts wasn't going to be enough. If they didn't get him to where Jesus was, he was going to remain in the bed that they carried him on, and they were going to have to carry him back home. So sometimes good intentions need to be embraced and followed up by action and activity. And so one of these four guys has to have a brilliant idea. Hey, let's go the extra effort. We've come this far. Why give up now? Jim, will you take another faith leap with us? Because this thing's about to get dangerous. We think that we can get you up on the roof, and we're going to beat a hole in the roof and lower you down through the roof. And we're going to get you to Jesus no matter what, if you agree. And I'm sure Jim said, well, I ain't got nothing to lose. We got this far. Let's go on, man. But this is the case. You realize they got to go home to get the stuff. They don't got MacGyver robes. They don't got a 4-inch ladder in their pocket that you add water to and it turns into a 10-foot ladder. They got to get to the roof some way. So somebody has to say, okay, you go get the rope, and it's got to be long enough that we can cut it in four pieces. And you go get a hammer, because when we get to the roof, we're going to tear some stuff up. And then I'm going to go home and get my ladder, and we're all going to meet back around here, and you keep Jim company while we're gone. And these guys go the extra effort and go bring back all of the stuff. They put the ladder up against the building. Some people say, well, Pastor, those houses sometimes were built on stairs. Okay, maybe they didn't need a ladder. Somehow or another, they got to the roof. They get the rope. They cut it in four pieces. They tie it to four pieces of the bed. And now they're practicing a little bit. They're picking up. Okay, now we're going to pick up kind of at the same time so Jim don't roll out of bed and fall because he can't catch himself. We just want Jesus to heal him. We don't want him to raise him from the dead. You know. So let's get in unison here. Are you in with this thing, Jim? Yes. Here's one of the most important parts of this whole message. They get him up on the roof, and they get out the hammer, and the guy that was probably already there said he was teaching about right here. And they said, all right, let's go for this thing. Y'all ready? Y'all in? Because we may get in trouble for this. You ever heard the old adage, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission? Because you got to know that somebody owned that house. You say, well, Pastor, we would allow Jesus to do anything. Let me come tear a hole in your roof. You may get excited. These guys start beating a hole in the roof, and do you realize that Jesus doesn't even complain about stuff falling in? It can't fall up, friends. Gravity makes it fall in. They're beating this hole in this roof, and it's falling down, and Jesus ain't complaining. You ever wondered how come some miracles are not able to be activated because we're complaining about God shaking up our stuff and we're more concerned about our stuff than the person coming in? See, we believe that revival started a while back, but revival can get messy. I've been a part of that. See, I lived in the panhandle when the Brownsville revival was going on. Hundreds of thousands of people saved from around the world. You know what the biggest complaint from Brownsville First Assembly was? Now, you got to realize, most churches would kill for an opportunity like this. I showed up for a 7 o'clock service at 10 o'clock in the morning. There were 3,000 people sitting on the sidewalk just to get in. You know what they complained about the most? The people outside are trampling our plants. I'm glad I wasn't the pastor of Brownsville Revival. Because I'd have said, we're going to tear every plant up so you'll quit complaining. Because if people are out there and they're ending up in the baptismal pool and ending up in the altars, we don't need the plants, we need them saved. That's what I'm talking about when your stuff gets tore up. And all of a sudden a hole gets in the roof and these four guys start lowering Jim down. And then Jesus does something miraculous. He sees something that's invisible. The text says he looked up and saw their faith. He saw the faith of four men that didn't stop when the crowd was there. Four men that were willing to go the extra mile to go get the extra stuff to bring it back. And four men that were willing enough to believe that if they got a crippled man, a paralyzed man in the presence of Jesus, that he could change everything. And Jim starts coming lowered down to the feet of Jesus. And all of a sudden, Amy, if you'll get ready to play me something. All of a sudden, Jesus does something that's a little off base. See, we thought that the need that Jim had was to be able to walk. But the real need Jim had was to be forgiven of his sins. And the first thing Jesus does is take care of the real need, not the surface need. A lot of times we're trying to pray for the symptoms of what's going on instead of getting down to the root of what's going on. And sometimes Jesus wants to deal with the root of what's going on. And Jesus looks at this man and says, Jim, your sins are forgiven. And immediately the watchers start going crazy. Who is this that says that he can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. Because they didn't really believe in who he said he was. But the four men with the ropes, they did. They weren't the watchers, they were the seers. And you notice that not one of the four men complained when he said, your sins are forgiven. Only the people that were there watching were the ones complaining. And Jesus, knowing all things, perceives in his heart what they're thinking, and then calls them out. You ever notice that Jesus will just call you out? And he just said, hey man, wait a minute. You think it's crazy for me to say your sins are forgiven, but you would not think it would be me crazy to tell a man that has never walked that you can walk. You think that's sane, but this is insane. Okay? Well, let me just show you. Because if I have the sovereignty, if I am who I say I am, and I have the real authority to forgive sin, then I also have the authority to tell this man that cannot walk to do something he cannot do, and he will be able to do it because I can change everything. And in the midst of this crowd of unbelief, he looks at Jim and says, for you to know, for this place to know that I am the person that has authority to forgive sin, I tell you, pick up your bed and go home. And at that moment, everything changed. A paralyzed man stood up. I mean, goodness, man, I've been in the bed for 2 days and lost probably 10 or 12 pounds. Can you imagine the atrophy in the muscles of a man that was paralyzed? And how much rehabilitation he would need, even if he had the strength to walk? But God doesn't need a whole lot of rehabilitation sometimes. Sometimes his sovereign word is just enough for you to stand on, because a paralyzed man just stood up. And he grabbed his belongings. And the Bible says he glorified God. And for those of you that don't really get excited, hey, I'm not trying to change your personality. Just don't criticize it. Because you don't know how many of us have been spiritually paralyzed. You don't know how many marriages were on the brink of divorce. And had we not heard a word from the Lord, had he not said, be still, that you're going to be okay, we wouldn't have been okay. And sometimes we get caught up in our glorifying God because he told us to do something. We had come to the end of ourselves and we could not do any longer on our own. So when God comes on and sovereignly says, hey, I can meet your eternal needs by forgiving your sins and making you right with the Father, but I can actually do more for you right here. And he was glorifying God. And even the people that doubted said, we are astonished because these are extraordinary things. What could happen if after this song, you believe that Jesus was at these altars and you'd bring whatever you had as a need, your friend, your need, your gem? What if you brought your gem to Jesus? What could change? Oh, you're not going to have to climb to the roof and tear a hole. No, your opposition is going to be, what will people think next to me? What are they going to say about me? I've always wanted to ask this question. I'm just going to have courage enough to ask it. Who cares? I mean, really? Who really cares what the other person thinks? Because if you have to get to Jesus, he can change everything. Let's listen. I'm really not going to take a long time for an altar appeal. I'm going to ask the band if they'll just keep worshiping. The altars are open. I wanted to preach this message last week. But I don't know if my friend Brett was here last week. I don't think he was. And so I believe that it was put on hold for a multitude of reasons, but him being one of them. So I'm going to let them continue to worship. You can come forward and just find a place to pray. I do ask that if you consider yourself at any point dismissed, please use the back exits, as these are going to be praying up here at the altar. They're going to keep worshiping. But if you need a miracle, if you need something in your life that would require an extraordinary event, I believe the King is here. I believe Jesus is here. So the altars are open. Girls, we'll keep worshiping.